Hi, my name is Isaac Jorgensen. Thanks for taking the time to listen to my music. I want to also thank all my talented friends who contributed to this project and these tracks. This music you've been listening to is much more than just an artistic endeavor to me, and it's much more than just entertainment. Each of these songs was written to contribute to the purpose of sharing a message with you, and I don't want your money, I don't want anything from you. I just want to share a message that's changed my life. The first song, Jiminy Cricket, you might remember the old Disney movie Pinocchio. In the movie, the character Jiminy Cricket was a representation of Pinocchio's conscience. Jiminy Cricket was always showing up to point out wrong and right to him, and you know, all of us have a conscience, all of us have that part of us, and we might have different opinions and preferences, but there's something in us that knows the difference between right and wrong. We all know it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to lie, that rape is wrong and murder is wrong. It begs the question, where did our conscience come from? You know, it's interesting that often our conscience is telling us to do things that we don't want to do, or it's telling us not to do things that we do want to do. And I believe our conscience points to the fact that we do have a maker, that he put it in us so that we would know the difference of right and wrong. And the Bible says in Romans 2:15 that our conscience bears witness, either accusing us or excusing us. And one day we are all going to face God, and our conscience is either going to defend us on the basis that we didn't know any better or accuse us because we did know. I think if we're honest with ourselves, you and I both know how many times we've known the difference of right and wrong, but we've chosen to do wrong anyways. Ultimately, if we're listening to our conscience, it points us to the fact that we're in rebellion against our Maker. You know, He's the one who gave us life. You and I woke up breathing this morning because He allowed us to, and yet we've chosen to go our own way. That's the point of the second song, Who Do You Put in Charge? Even though God has a right to be in charge of our lives, we've gone against Him. We've taken control ourselves, and we have this attitude, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want. Just take a minute to think about it. You've probably heard of the Ten Commandments, and if you look at these commands, it becomes clear that all of us have broken them. It says you shall not lie, but you and I both know how many lies we've told. It says you shall not steal. Have you ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? It might not even be something that big, but God sees it all. Another command says you should honor your father and mother, but everyone has rebelled and disrespected their parents at one time or another. And the Bible also says that if you even look at somebody with lust, you've committed adultery with that person in your heart. God made you, and He knows your thoughts. He knows everything you do in secret. Another command is that you should not murder. Most of us haven't killed someone in cold blood, but the Bible says that even if you hate, you're a murderer in your heart. Again, God sees down to your heart, and He considers it murder. Those are just four of the commands, and nearly all of us have broken all of them. And the Bible says it's been appointed once for men to die, and after that there will be a judgment. And if you're judged by God's standard, which we just looked at, you and me would both be found guilty. And I hope that this concerns you at least a little bit. It should concern us. The Bible's clear that because God is a just judge, He's going to have to punish for wrong. Revelation 21:8 says that the unbelieving and the people detestable to God and the sexually immoral and those practicing magic and those who worship other things and the liars, they're all going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Death is a reality that both you and I are going to have to face, and we'll be judged, and hell is what we have coming. And I'm not pointing the finger at you alone. The scriptures point the finger at all of us, myself included. But I'm pointing the finger because it's not until we realize we have a disease that we seek the cure. Just like when a fire breaks out in a building, the only ones who are going to seek a way to be saved are the people who know about the fire. You know, so people would rather I keep my mouth shut about this sort of thing and just play music and keep these things to myself. But to keep silent about what can save you from eternal destruction, that's not loving you. There is one window out of this burning building, and there's one solution to our problem, and that solution is Jesus. 2,000 years ago on the same planet we live on today, Jesus literally came to this earth, being fully man and fully God, the only perfect life this world has ever seen. And He died a death that He didn't deserve, being nailed up on a Roman execution cross. But you know, Jesus didn't just come to this earth to be a role model for us. When He was dying on that cross, He was paying the cost of your sins and my sins. God sent His Son Jesus to die in your place so that your sin could be paid for, your fines could be canceled, and you could be forgiven of every single sin you've ever committed. God gives this gift of forgiveness freely, to everyone who chooses to enter into a trusting relationship with Him. He's not asking you to earn your salvation to try to get on good terms with Him. That's what Jesus did for you. But He does ask you to make Him your Savior and your Lord. That means as your Savior that you accept He's the only way you can be forgiven, and you receive His forgiveness, the gift of grace. And to receive Him as your Lord means that you put Him back in charge of your life, that you choose to trust Him and His directions and His commands, and you learn to let Him be the leader of your life. The Bible warns us to count the cost of choosing to follow Christ, because it really does. It means letting Him have control of your life. It means leaving your sin. It means serving Him with all of your life. The Bible also warns of the cost of not coming to Jesus. It says that whoever doesn't put their trust in Jesus is condemned, and they'll pay for their sins themselves and be thrown into the lake of fire. But that's not what God wants for you. He loves you, and Jesus came because He loved you and didn't want you to be apart from Him. I'm not here to force you to make a choice. Only you can make a choice. I'm simply here to warn you that there is a fire, and to tell you there is a way out. God wants to forgive you no matter what you've done. He wants to have a relationship with you, and you can accept and enter into that relationship right now if you want. You don't need any special words or a ritual. Just talk to God. Tell Him you're sorry for your rebellion against Him. Tell Him you're choosing to receive His gift of forgiveness that Jesus died to give you. Ask Him to give you a new life the way He brought Jesus back to life. And ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Tell Him that starting today, you want to start learning to follow and obey Him. Tell Him you want Him to be in charge of your life from now on. Thank Him for your forgiveness and that you've become His child today. And if you've made that choice to follow Jesus, or you have other questions about what it means to follow Jesus, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at thewordswedontsay@live.com. I also want you to know that however you got this CD, you have permission to copy and distribute it as many times as you'd like. History tells us that after Jesus died, He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. And that same Jesus is alive today, and He wants to have a relationship with you. Please know that He loves you. Please know He's ready to forgive you. Thanks again for listening to my music and my message, and may God bless you.